We lift up our sister to you, Clarissa, and we just ask that you would envelop her this morning, that Holy Spirit, you would come and fill her heart with courage and boldness, that you would calm her, steel her nerves. We give you all the praise and all the glory for the things that you're doing in her life. Thank you for her willingness to serve you. Thank you for her love and her compassion for those in this world. Would you just have your way here this morning? Open up our hearts and our minds to be able to hear what it is that she has to share, and that we would be right with her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. I hope everyone's doing well. I just want to start off by saying I want to thank Don and Sue for allowing me to come speak. Even though I've been going here for a really long time, I still feel honored to be able to come share my heart with all of you guys. So with that said, this morning I want to talk about Jeremiah 1. And I want to focus on verses 4 through 9. So if you would like to, you can turn there. So the chapter starts out with a little bit of history of what's going on at the time, like who's the king and know what month it is, and then we move down to verse 4 to the call of Jeremiah. Verse 4 says, "The word of the Lord came to me, saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations." And then in verse 6, Jeremiah responds, "Alas, sovereign Lord, I said, I do not know how to speak. I am too young. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am too young. You must go to everyone I send you to and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. Then the Lord reached out his hand and touched my mouth and said to me, I have put my words in your mouth." So the first thing God told Jeremiah was, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And sometimes I don't think we really know the full significance of that statement right there. Long before Jeremiah was ever conceived, or before he was ever thought of, probably long before the world existed, God knew exactly who Jeremiah was. What does it mean to know someone, though? The English definition of the word know, K-N-O-W, means to understand, to be familiar, to be aware of something. In the original Hebrew, that word, I knew, as in I knew you, is yada, and that means to experience another individual. It often points to deeply personal experience or relationship with someone. We can see here that God was very intimate and personal and active in Jeremiah's life way before Jeremiah came into existence, way before, you know, time. And so in this way, God knew Jeremiah inside and out. God planned his life. He knew his likes, his dislikes, all his characteristics, you know, physical and part of his personality. He knew what he wanted him to do. He knew everything that would happen to him, both good and bad. And he knew all the mistakes he would make. He knew all the good things he would do. And the next thing God tells him is, I set you apart. And the word for set apart is kadosh in Hebrew, and that means holy. And that describes anyone or anything particularly associated with God. It means to prepare, to dedicate, to be separate. And I think that's so neat. God was associating Jeremiah with himself long before Jeremiah came to be. He was preparing him, he's dedicating him, he was separating him out of the millions of other people. He chose Jeremiah. Not only did he choose him, he chose him to be a prophet to the nations. And in this context, nations means, you know, not just Jeremiah's people, but, you know, the surrounding countries as well. When God said prophet to the nations, he was saying, I am not a God of just Israel or Judah. I am a God of the whole world. He is everywhere. He told this to Jeremiah so that Jeremiah would know that God is always with him, no matter what, wherever he went. And he was not just with the people that the Israelites knew. The Israelites thought that God was... Wait, let me repeat that. God was with him everywhere. He was not just with the people he thought were God's people, but he was with him everywhere he went. There's a big theological word for that. It's omnipresent. That means that God is everywhere. And then Jeremiah responds, and he tries to make excuses. He thought he was too young and no one would listen to him. And we see in the very beginning of the chapter that Jeremiah was the son of Hilkiah the priest. In those days, you had to be 30 to become a priest. And most people think that Jeremiah was probably around 20 or in his early 20s somewhere. And so when God called him to this, he was probably thinking, I have a long way to go. There's no way I'm going to be able to speak to these people. They're not going to listen to me. I'm not old enough. He probably felt overwhelmed, and he definitely did not feel qualified. So he used the excuse of not being able to speak because he's too young. But God reassured him. He didn't ask Jeremiah to go alone or give his own viewpoints or his own words, but he also didn't tell him that the road would be easy. But he did promise that his presence would go with Jeremiah everywhere he went, and he would take care of him and protect him. And later in the book, in Jeremiah's being persecuted by the nations, and chapter 15, verse 20, God reassures Jeremiah again. He says, I'm with you to save you and deliver you. So God was still with Jeremiah, and he was still taking care of him through the rest of his ministry. After he reassured Jeremiah, he touched his mouth. This touching of the mouth symbolized that God was putting his words in Jeremiah. He didn't have to worry anymore about not knowing what to say, because now God's words were inside of him as a part of him, and so he would literally become the mouthpiece for God. And so that is the context of this passage. And how do we apply this to, you know, current modern day? You might think, yeah, Jeremiah was young, but that was his own problem. You know, I have my own problems, you know, I have my own excuses of why I shouldn't do, or why I shouldn't be doing what God has called me to do. But God knows each and every person inside and out, even before they were conceived. He knew them. He called each of us uniquely by name. And he is active, and he is personal, and he is intimate, and he knows everything about us. Isaiah 40, verse 25 to 26 says, lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all of these? He who brings out the starry hosts one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. That, to me, is huge, because God brought out the stars and the heavens, and he called each one of them by name. So he's that intimate and personal and active with these inanimate things. How much more is he active and personal in our lives, and how much more does he want us to know that and want us to just allow ourselves to be open to Him. And so, but many, you know, it's human nature, I think, to be scared and, you know, struggle with our calling. You know, we don't think we're good enough. We feel unqualified. You know, we're like, I've done too many bad things to, you know, for God to use me. We feel insecure. And maybe we feel like we're a disappointment to others. I know, for me personally, lately, I guess, I've been feeling kind of lost. Like, what am I doing? Why am I here? You know, why am I doing the things I'm doing? And why am I speaking on Sunday? And what do I have to offer these people that they don't already know? And so that's where I've been at lately. And I actually thought of like 3 or 4 other sermon ideas that I was going to use, but then I would sit down and I wouldn't get anything. And so then at the last minute, God actually put Jeremiah 1 on my heart. And this whole passage actually incorporates a little bit of everything that I had thought about talking about before, if that makes sense. So many of us feel discouraged, and we think, why would God want to use me? Psalm 8:4 says, "Who is man that you would be mindful of him? Who's man that you would look upon his face?" You know, why would God want to use a weak, insecure person like me? What do I have to offer to anyone? And why did Jesus choose the disciples he chose? Why did he choose those 12 specific men to follow him? There was Peter, who just didn't think before he said, and he said a lot of stuff that he didn't really mean. Thomas, after being with Jesus for 3 years, and he did not believe that Jesus resurrected. After being with him and seeing him do all the things he did, he didn't believe. Judas, I'm going to tell you about Judas. You know, he was the one who betrayed Jesus. Matthew was a tax collector, and these people would cheat others to get money. But Jesus still chose them, and he saw them, he saw who they could be, and he said, "Follow me." So they dropped everything and followed him. And I think the world has a way of making us feel unqualified, or like we don't belong, or we shouldn't be doing the things we're doing. If we're in leadership, like in the church, whatever, we mess up, we're like, "Oh, you need to stop doing that now. You need to get your life back in order." Like, a lot of people in the church will be like, will say, before we allow you to do this, you have to do this, this, and this. But God doesn't say that. He just wants you. He just wants a willing heart. Yes, we might be scared, and we might have all these insecurities and fears, but if we're willing, despite those things, then all he wants to do is use you. Like little Joseph Robertson, like he runs the sound and he plays up here on the djembe. And like Olivia, when Jit and Joe are here, and Jit asked Olivia to pray over a lot of people, and a lot of people were healed because of her. Because she was willing.
God wants everyone, not just the people who we think should be. I'm sorry. Romans 8:28 says, God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. God has called every single child of his to a specific task on this earth. And he's going to cause it to be successful. He will bring success to it. If we're called, if God calls us, he will fulfill it. He will bring it to fruition. We don't have to, listen to what anyone else tells us. And I want to read something that was something that Miss Sue said a few weeks ago. A prophecy. She said, "Do not back down to fear. I choose you again and again. My forgiveness is yours. In my love and mercy, move forward. I see time. I know what's going on. I choose you again and again. You are my people." And today, something she said that really stuck out. She said, "I'm building my kingdom, but some things must diminish. In your weakness, I am strong. God was able to use Jeremiah because he was willing. Yes, he was weak and he was worried and he was afraid, but God used him, and he used him really mightily. And maybe you're thinking, I can't be who God wants me to be. I can't do this. You might be questioning why would God want to use me? I'm a nobody. Maybe you have anger or you're bitter. But you want to be used by God, but you're angry or bitter. Some things must diminish so that the kingdom of God can move forward. If maybe it's pride that you have. I guess the main point, I'm way off my notes, by the way. I guess the main point I'm trying to say here is God knows you so intimately and personally, and he wants you to know him the same way. And he called you from the beginning to do a specific task for him that he appointed only you to do. And yes, we are weak. We are so weak. But it's in those times of weakness that he's able to use us the most. Another thing Miss Sue said today was, "Be encouraged, my hope is your hope." If we're discouraged, God's hope is our hope. We have hope because of what he did. He laid down his life for us. Yes. What I'm trying to say is, you are not unqualified because of what the world says or what anyone else says. If God called you to do it, he will qualify you, and doesn't matter what anyone else says. You are qualified. Because he knows you inside and out. And so, I know this wasn't a very long talk. I knew it wasn't going to be very long. But if anyone wants prayer for anything, if you've been feeling discouraged, if you don't think you should be where you're at, I would like to pray for you, if you would want to come forward and get prayer. And if anyone else wants to pray for someone, that's cool, that's good too. So, Lord, I just thank you for this day and this time. Lord, thank you for your spirit, God. Thank you for your presence here. I pray for every single one of these people, God. Thank you for them, God. Thank you for calling them. Would they be encouraged to not back down in fear because you've chosen them, God? Would they be encouraged to stand up and be who you called them to be, Lord? Would you just release your anointing all over them, God, so that they can go and do the things that you've called them to do, God? And would they know that you are active and personal in their lives, God, even if they don't think so, God? You are with them, taking care of them, protecting them. I just pray that you'd have your way here, Lord, your Holy Spirit.
I had a kind of a snapshot during worship of God taking a machete and doing all the hard work. Okay, he took the machete and chopped down the whatever you do with the machete. Bam, bam, bam. He did all the hard work. And he's asking all of us, he's asking me to really to just walk through the path that he's cut down for us. So he's made a way for us, which is really, I know that's his life, but that's sweet. This is called exhortation, is what you've done today. Thank you. Because we have to hear it again and again and again and again and again. We really do.
During worship, I felt very, like, At first I thought I was supposed to just sit here and listen to it, but I heard God talking to me, and what he kept saying was that, well, best way to put it is that, you know when they were talking about brokenness up here? Well, if you ever watch a movie called The Passion of the Christ, you never, when Jesus died on the cross, he didn't do it whole. I don't know if a lot of, I'm sure a lot of people already know that, but it's that he, to take all our sins, he had to break first. The Romans had to beat him to death multiple times before he even got to the cross to fully pay the price for everything. So, if God's willing to let himself break just to save us, breaking is the way to be more like God, I feel, just a bit. I don't know. I mean, I just felt that in my mind a bit, so I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, like Shane was saying, sometimes we need to be broken before God can really use us. Like, you know, on a glow stick, it's not gonna glow until you crack it. And it only really shines in the darkness. It's the same with us. We can't be seen in this darkness until we are broken. Thank you for your presence, God. Would you just keep coming, Lord. Just keep filling this place, God.
Lord, you have my heart.
Jesus, take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Let me be to you a sacrifice, and I will praise you, Lord.
I will praise you.
I will sing of love, come down. We'll see your glory. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Take my life and lead me on. Lord, you have my heart, and I will search for you. Jesus, to you
a sacrifice. I will praise you, Lord. I will praise you.
And I will sing of love, come down from your throne.
we're going to dismiss now, so I just want to pray over all of you guys first. Lord, thank you. Again, Lord, thank you for your presence here. Thank you for what you're doing in our hearts, God, and in this church, God, in us and through us. May we not be discouraged, God, because of whatever we think doesn't qualify us to serve you, God. You don't care about those things, God, so maybe be encouraged. Would you just give us willing hearts to do what you've called us to do, Lord? May you reveal yourself to us, God, and show us your glory, God, so that we can just fall in love more with you. Lord, would you bless these people and anoint them as they go out, God? Would you just shine your face on them, Lord?